All right, if you would this morning, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading there in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, 1. Of course, this is one of the last letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, and he wrote it to a young man that he called his son in the faith, and that is Timothy. And we find out in chapter 4 that really Paul is passing the mantle, if you will, to Timothy, realizing that his time of departure is at hand. And all of 1st and 2nd Timothy really are instructions in light of Paul leaving the ministry in the hands of young Timothy. He says there in chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, when you read this chapter, and I didn't read all of it, we'll finish it up in a moment, but when you read the portion, for example, that I just read, it's not the most encouraging things that you could possibly think about. I mean, a lot of it is kind of doom and gloom. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the first part there, because I primarily want to look at that verse 13 where he said, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." But in the first part of the chapter, he does mention several things where he says, "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud." And you know, when you read those verses of Scripture, immediately the thing that might come to your mind is, well, when has there ever been a time when things weren't like that? I mean, if this is a sign of the last times, we must certainly be either there or even beyond it. Because men have always been lovers of their own selves. Men have always been covetous and boasters, proud and blasphemers. And I think when you study the context of the verses, that what you'll find out is that what Paul is talking about here is that these traits will be manifest among the members of the body of Christ, not just those that are lost. And as they are, in other words, as people become more self-centered and more separated from truth, they have a tendency to live as though they were not even saved. Paul addressed that in Ephesians chapter 4. He said, "You Gentiles, you ought not to walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind, because you've been saved. You shouldn't be in darkness anymore." And so what Paul is warning here is that in the last times, there are going to be people who are going to turn away from the truth. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And he says down there in verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." In other words, Paul is contrasting what he has done, what he has stood for, from that group, such as Jannes and Jambres, which are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Those that resist the truth, those that have corrupt minds and are reprobate concerning the faith. Now, he gets down to verse 12 and he makes a statement there. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You either have in the past, you either are now, or you will in the future suffer some type of persecution if you stand for the truth of the Word of God. If you stand for the gospel of the grace of God, there's going to be some kind of resistance, there's going to be some persecution. Now, it may not be in the form that the saints that in Paul's day encountered, where it absolutely cost them their life for preaching the gospel. But listen, today there is a certain amount of suffering, and it may come in rejection, it may come in family relationships, it may come in any number of ways, but the Bible is clear, is that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why? Next verse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We were watching a TV program this week about those that deny the truth of an intelligent design of the creation and so forth. And they interviewed a multitude of people on there that didn't believe in God, didn't believe that the Word of God had any validity whatsoever, laughed and scoffed at the Word of God. Well, you know, those used to be very rare. But that sect of individuals is growing and growing, and more people resist the truth and are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because they deny the truth of the Word of God. And Paul says in relation to us, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. In other words, the idea that at the end times, the end of this dispensation, there's going to be a great turning to the truth. You can forget that, folks. It's not going to happen. There may be a great turning to religion, or maybe not. But the fact is, as evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, things are going to get worse. Deceiving and being deceived. Now, on one hand, that sounds a little bit ominous. It sounds a little bit discouraging. But, you know, it benefits us to understand what is going on. That the things where people, when you see people resist the truth, and, you know, people will argue, I've heard in the last several months, that this verse has not been fulfilled yet, that those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Because we haven't received physical persecution. But you know, there is such thing as emotional persecution. There's emotional suffering. And those that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. Some shape, form, or fashion. Why? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well then, if this is all there is, isn't that really cause to be in despair? No, because we know that, as Steve was talking about this morning in Sunday school, this earth is not our home. He said, set your affection on things above. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And so we know that beyond this life and beyond this world, there is a wonderful hope. The hope of all that we have in Christ Jesus. The hope of eternal life in Christ Jesus. The hope of living with Him eternally. And it's interesting that the next verse, verse 14, after Paul says there, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, he then gives some instructions to Timothy about what he should do in light of this impending situation that is there. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What are you to do? Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You know, the greatest comfort you can have in a time of trial and trouble, folks, is the doctrine, the truth of the Word of God. When things are not going well with your family, when things are not going well with your business, when things are not going well in school, when things are not going well in your life in general, the greatest resource you have is the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. And here Timothy is, Paul is giving him one warning after another, telling him things are going to get really bad, telling him, listen, I'm fixing to go be put to death. You know, I think about Paul writing all this to Timothy, and then in chapter 4 he said, the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. Now think about that. Timothy, you be a follower of me. Do what I've taught you to do. Here's what the end result is. You're going to have your head cut off. It's back like old Corinthians there. You know, he said, I've been beat. I've been shipwrecked. I've been stoned. Be ye followers of me. Well, the instruction that he gives in verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You see, folks, when things get tough, when things get difficult, it's not a time to panic. It's a time to draw from the resources that we have, and those resources are, or that resource is the truth of the Word of God. And particularly the truth of the Word of God rightly divided. Because multitudes of people today who are believing false teaching, their anchor is not going to hold when things get difficult. There are people being taught today, ask and you shall receive. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. And you know what? They're going to be in a tough spot someday. They're going to be in a situation where they're going to claim that promise because somebody taught them they could, and they're going to pray and believe that God is going to deliver them from their situation because according to that verse, he would be obligated to do so, and when he doesn't, it's going to destroy their confidence and their faith in God. There are going to be people who give of their money because the prosperity gospel says that if you will give, God will multiply 5 times or 10 times, and on it goes, and those people are going to end up in despair. You know, the people that are going to have a solid rock and an anchor that holds are those that know and understand the truth of the Word of God, the doctrine given to us through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. Knowing that he said that in the last days perilous times shall come. Knowing that he said evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What do? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, I've been teaching you, Timothy, for all these years. Now you're going to have to draw from those resources. Go back, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to look at just several statements that Paul makes to Timothy in relation to being able to stand in the evil day, in the time when things are difficult. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, he says, take heed unto thyself, notice, and unto what? The doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now think about that. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. That is the sound teaching. He said, continue thou in the things that thou hast heard of me. Talking about the teachings that Paul had given to Timothy. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. What's the context of verse of chapter 4, verse 16? Well, look back in chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Listen, folks, don't be surprised when you see people, and even religious people, speaking lies, not telling the truth. It's all in the Word of God. He said that the Spirit speaketh expressly. He has given some express, direct instructions about these last times. And what He has said is that there are people who are going to depart from the faith, and they're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I would suppose that a seducing spirit would be a spirit that would seduce people by words, by doctrine that is false. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, how are people seduced today? Well, I just mentioned a moment ago. You seduce people by teaching them things that are satisfying to the flesh. That make people believe that there are things that God will do for them in their flesh based on their performance. That seduces people. And he says, they're speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they can tell a lie looking somebody in the eye and it doesn't even bother them. Their conscience is seared. He mentions a couple of those doctrines of devils, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. These two things I would imagine were prevalent in Paul's day, and that's the reason he mentioned them. But they are examples of putting people under a performance system, a system of do's and don'ts, saying that if you eat this, then there's going to be some kind of consequence from God, putting them back under the law. And Paul says, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. In other words, the context of chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, is apostasy. It's a falling away from the truth. In the latter days, he says, latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Well, how are you going to stay true to the faith when those about you are falling away from the faith? Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. You see, you're going to need to know what the Word of God says. You need to be established in what the Word says, not what in people say about the Word. In the time when things get difficult, and when the false doctrine is being poured out, it's not going to be a great benefit for you just to know what your church believes or what your preacher believes. You need to know what you believe. You need to know what you believe based on the Word of God, not just because you heard somebody say it, not just because somebody has communicated to you. You need to know what the Word of God says. You need to understand that in the latter times, some are going to depart from the faith, that evil men shall wax worse and worse, and that things are not going to get any better. But in the midst of all of that, there is hope because we have been equipped with truth. And therefore, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Now notice the last part of verse 16. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's an interesting phrase right there, and people take it out of context sometime and say, well, wasn't Timothy already saved? Well, certainly Timothy was already saved. We know he was saved based on other passages in the Bible. What's the you see, every time you see the word save, it's not talking about being saved from eternal damnation. In this context, it's being saved from the falling away. Being saved from the departing from the faith. Being saved from the great apostasy. That's what the word apostasy means. It means a falling away from the truth. Well, Paul says, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine, continuing them, for this thou shalt, in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. See, he's talking to Timothy, the young preacher. So the first thing he instructs Timothy to do is take heed. And take heed to something specific, and that is to the doctrine, the body of information, the body of truth that he has been provided. And Paul makes it clear in the verse we read a moment ago that it was the information provided to Timothy through him, through our apostle. All scripture is given inspiration of God. We're to read and study the entire Bible. But listen, folks, the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will not equip you to be able to stand in the evil day, equip you to stand in the latter days of the dispensation of the grace of God. What the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching the 12 was, those that endure to the end shall be saved. What he was teaching them was how to endure the tribulation that they were going through. We're not going through that. We may go right up to it. And things might get really bad before the rapture of the church. But listen, we're not going through that tribulation. Then we don't need the instruction about enduring the 7 years of the tribulation. What we need are instructions about the last days in which we're going to be living. And that is the last days of the dispensation of grace, when evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, when some shall depart from the faith, and when in the last days perilous times shall come. It's not a bright future for the earth, for the systems of this earth. The future is not bright. Now, because we put so much confidence in, or we have such an attachment to the world, we want to see things go well. We want the economy to be good. We want the political system to be good. We want the educational system to improve. And so there's all kind of causes out there that people get involved in. Well, let me tell you something, folks. I don't see any indication in the Scripture that the world's going to be made better by better government, that the world's going to be made better by a better educational system. Everything I see in the Scripture indicates that all of those things are going to be a miserable failure when it comes to God. They're all anti-God, anti-Christ. And so we are in the midst of a time, and I'm not setting any dates or anything like that, but obviously we can see that we're in a time that perilous times have come. And evil men and seducers do wax worse and worse. Look over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience and without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Well, I wonder why Timothy would be in tears. Might have to do with Paul being imprisoned. It might have to do with the things that were going on that Paul had been warning Timothy about. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The indication there is that Timothy, he's in tears, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. He said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Doesn't mean that we don't fear, but it doesn't come from God. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now notice the next verse. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. In the last days, isn't it interesting that Paul warns Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. People today are ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God to salvation. You know what the testimony of the Lord was to the apostle Paul? The testimony of the Lord to Paul was that I died for your sins, and not for your sins, but for the sins of the entire world. Because people are ashamed of the gospel of Christ, they have created another gospel. Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel, he said that if any man preach another Jesus or another spirit, you might well bear with him, bear up against it. Well, it's interesting that Paul warns Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. There are people today that are ashamed to acknowledge that Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles, that Paul is our apostle. There are people that are ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and of his prisoner, the apostle Paul. He said there in the last part, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. What is that power? Back up in verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You want to be sound in mind? You've got to be sound in doctrine. Continue thou in the doctrine, he said. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Then are there afflictions associated with the gospel? There must be. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Say, but we can preach the gospel freely. Yeah, but there must be some afflictions that are brought about as a result of preaching the gospel. We know there were physical afflictions with the Apostle Paul. Now, we're not beat or stoned in this country. May come a day when we are, but there are places in this world where you cannot preach the gospel. Brother Dan Gross, I get his newsletters, and he goes to India. And they have to be very careful there because there are places where he goes that they will not allow the gospel of Christ to be preached. There'll be soldiers, there'll be policemen show up at the meetings to monitor what is said and what is done there. But again, there are afflictions associated with preaching the gospel. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Then notice over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me. Well, let's just start in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Folks, I don't know about you, but when I read 1 and 2 Timothy, and particularly 2 Timothy, it just jumps out at me, and I don't see how it could help but do that to anybody that really reads it and sees what he's saying here. That the issue here is that Timothy is going to be tempted to teach something other than what he has learned through Apostle Paul. Well, what in the world would that be? Well, there were some men that were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They were preaching keeping the law. They were preaching circumcision. You remember what Paul said in Galatians? He said, if I yet preach circumcision, the offense of the cross is ceased. Well, then there must have been a temptation to compromise the message. Even though Timothy might be preaching, he said, the things that thou hast heard of me. Now, that's three verses we've read, and every one of them, Paul has referenced what he heard from Paul. Teaching what he heard from Paul. Not what he heard from Peter and James and John. The things that thou hast heard of me, he said, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now notice what he says. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Look down in verse, well, skip down to verse, let's see. Down verse 7 again. Yeah, that's it. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Verse 8. Now notice. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now how does that fit in with all that we've just mentioned here? Well, think about this. When Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, verse 30, anybody remember what Peter said about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he was raised for? He said he was raised to what? Sit upon the throne of David. Now why would Paul, just in the midst of all of this instruction about being a good soldier and warring and laboring, insert verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Well, why did Paul say that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? He said he was raised for our justification. Listen, folks, the whole context of 2 Timothy is Paul encouraging Timothy to preach the doctrine that Paul received from the Lord Jesus and had communicated unto him. What an encouragement for us in the dispensation of grace to see all of this information given through Paul about standing for the truth. And then in verse 9 he says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Paul was suffering trouble as an evildoer because of what he preached about the resurrection. Number one, that he preached Christ was raised from the dead. And number two, he was receiving a difficulty from the Jews, probably because he wasn't preaching that he was raised to sit on the throne. He was preaching he was raised for our justification. And now salvation was available to all men. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, be strong in the grace. 2 Timothy 2:2, that which you've heard, commit to faithful men. 2 Timothy 2:3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And then you get down to verse 14, and he says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words from no profit, but the subverting of the hearers. Now notice, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You see, it's just one instruction after another in relation to preaching the truth, standing for the truth. Why? Because evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Down in chapter 2, in verses 22, down through there, he talks about fleeing youthful lust. He talks about not striving with people over in verse 24 and 25 and 26. And then we get back over to chapter 3 where we started. Notice back down there again now in chapter 3. He says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. One warning after another, he says, in the latter days some are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. In the last days perilous times shall come. In the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. In the last days, And the time's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But instead, they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, he says, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now notice, after Paul has said all of that, he puts things in real perspective for Timothy. Because he makes Timothy see and understand that even if he is obedient to all that has been written here through the pen of Paul, it is no guarantee that he's going to have a big following, a successful ministry. He says in verse 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antichius have I sent to Ephesus." After all these years of preaching the gospel, of ministering, of going from city to city, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi and said, "I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." You read about these few people here, most of them had turned their back. No wonder Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "Timothy, preach the word, be it in season, out of season." You see, folks, we should never base our ministry on the popularity, on the success that we see, or on the acceptance by people. We have people come here from time to time, and they might come for a week or two. Some come for several months, and for one reason or another, they leave. And it's discouraging. It causes you sometimes to get despondent. But you know what? It never changes the cause. Paul said, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Folks, there's a cause. The cause is standing for the truth of the Word of God. You know, back in chapter 3, he says there in verse 11, "Persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Now Paul's in prison. Paul said, "I'm fixing to see the end of my life. The time of my departure is at hand." Well, notice what he says over in verse 18 of chapter 4. "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and shall preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever." There's the ultimate deliverance. You see, back there in Corinth, where Paul wrote about all those beatings that he suffered and so forth, he said, "The Lord delivered me. Now the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I'm fixing to see the end of my life." But he says, even in that, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever." There's no guarantee, folks, that on this earth you're going to ever be delivered from every evil work. Every indication is that you will not be delivered from the evil work. You're going to be caught right in the middle of it. The evil men and seducers, the evil teachings, the evil rebellion of those who resist the truth. And you're going to have to live right in the midst of it. So what did he tell Timothy to do while you're doing that? He said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke with all long suffering." But he said, "The Lord will deliver you, just like he's going to deliver me, and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." You see, as Paul warns Timothy about the situation that he faces, On one hand, it may be somewhat discouraging. But on the other hand, there's great encouragement. Because we know, we can say, we want to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. You see, it may be difficult, and it probably will. But there is a cause and there is a reason for standing for the truth. The truth of the gospel of the grace of God. Why? Because it is the gospel whereby people are saved today. It's the gospel that brings salvation. That's why we preach the gospel of the grace of God. It's the only message today that'll get people saved. It's not that we're the only one preaching it, but it is the only message. The truth of the cross, that Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again the third day. If you're not saved today, listen, that's the only way you can be saved, is by believing the gospel and accepting it as truth and trusting in it today. There's no other way to be saved. I mean, you can go jump through every hoop and do all that anybody has ever told you to do or will tell you to do, but there is nothing in your flesh that's going to save you. Christ died for your sins. He was buried and raised again the third day. And you can be justified by believing in what He did and accepting it as your free gift. That's what we preach. That's the gospel that Paul said will bring afflictions, the afflictions of the gospel. This message is not intended to be discouraging. This message is to encourage us and make us see and understand that there's a reason for standing for the truth and preaching the truth and being instant in season and out of season and studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman is not to be ashamed, and realizing when the rejection comes and when the troubles come that it's all within the realm of what God has told us through His Word. People are going to resist the truth. And what do? We endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, because we know that He has preserved us and will preserve us unto His heavenly kingdom and will deliver us from this present evil world. And one day we'll be with Him throughout eternity. And we want to be able to hear Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." When we stand before that judgment seat of Christ and all the work is tried, we want to be sure that it's silver, gold, and precious stone. Not wood, hay, and stubble. Would you stand me for prayer?